but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
BFFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
The backers are moving. Here they come.
Heavy pressure. Howard delivers downfield. It's Smith. He's got it. Jeremiah Smith hadn't had a touch in the second half until that potential game clincher. First down at the 10.
Well, they went zero, meaning they blitzed seven. They left everybody on an island, and Ohio State thinks that's a mismatch with Jeremiah Smith against anybody.
Ohio State, when we last left them on the football field, walked off as national champions. Expanded playoff. Ryan Day surviving the angst of Buckeyes fans after the losing to Oregon and Michigan in the regular season and getting a contract extension at the end. Bill Rabinowitz, nobody better on Ohio State. He is the guy. You have to follow him if you want to know what's going on with Ohio State. He works at the Columbus Dispatch. He's joining us now. That must be exhausting to have to, you know, I was like, gosh, that college football season seemed long. But you went wire to wire. We talked before the season, Bill. We talked after the season. What was that like to cover Ohio State last year?
It was a long season. And it was a lot of ups and downs. The Oregon game was the first one, was kind of a I don't know what you want to call it, speed bump. They knew the season wasn't lost. They figured they'd get another crack at Oregon down the road. The Michigan one was devastating. There's no getting around it. Nobody thought that would happen. They lose at home to their rivals for the fourth straight year, and I don't think anybody really knew what to expect from Ohio State going into the playoff. Would it be a team that would be galvanized by that loss, that they would regroup, or would it be a team that would just kind of mail it in and say, well, this season has been a disappointment, and we all saw what happened. They blew out Tennessee, blew out Oregon, outlasted Texas, and then beat Notre Dame. So, crazy season, a very long season. And then, as you know, I ended up writing a book about it. So, no, I would like to take a vacation.
Bill Rabinowitz, when's the book coming out? Is it out already, or is it due out soon?
No, October.
Okay.
It's done. It's at the printers. So, but it's I will get my copy probably in a month or two. And it'll be on sale for the public October 21st.
The book itself, how much time do you get with Ryan Day as you go to write the book?
It was... I would probably say that we had maybe six or seven interviews. A few of them were sit-down ones that lasted, an hour or so. Others were he was driving in his car and it was 20 minutes while he was going from point A to point B. I would probably say 6 hours roughly. And I talked to Nina, his wife, for probably 4 hours. I talked to Jim Knowles for 3 hours. I talked to key players for at least an hour. Almost all the interviews with players were at least a half hour and usually an hour or more. So I tried to get the inside account of what really happened, and I hope I did.
I can't imagine that, Day felt good about losing to Michigan, losing to Oregon in the regular season. You know better than anybody the public outcry around Ohio State. Like, Bill, I can't help but think if this were still a four-team playoff, this offseason would have been very uncomfortable for Ryan Day, and instead, he gets celebrated, and he kind of got a reprieve winning the title.
Honestly, I don't think he'd be the coach if there was still a 14 playoff, because the vitriol got so bad after the Michigan game that the Days were ready to move on. and it was only the playoff run that made, you know, everything better. And it's amazing what four games can do, because if they had laid an egg against Tennessee, I know that Ross Bjork, the athletic director, had given Ryan Day a vote of confidence, and that was sincere. It was not just kind of your you know, the thing you say before you fire somebody. I think he really believed that Ryan Day is the right guy. But I think the fan reaction after that Michigan game was just so harsh that I think the Days probably thought, you know, again, if there wasn't a chance for redemption in a 12-team playoff, I think they would have said enough's enough. I mean, that's in the book. I mean, I'll tell you that, that, you know, the Days were ready to go. And it was just, you know, they made that run.
Bill Rabinowitz, Columbus Dispatch, our guest. Oregon, Penn State, Ohio State get mentioned as contenders in the Big Ten. How do you see that? Because you're near that Ohio State program. How good can they be this year?
They can be very good. It's interesting because I think Penn State, if they didn't have the history of falling short in big games, would be ahead of Ohio State. Mm. But James Franklin, as everyone knows, is 1-15 or something like that against top five teams. They've only beaten Ohio State once, and now it's kind of a fluky one where they blocked a field goal and returned it for a touchdown. And so I think there's a lot of skepticism about can Penn State really, you know, finish the job. You know, I don't know that much about Oregon. Obviously, you know a lot more than I do. They lost a lot of players, obviously, Dylan Gabriel and others. But it's still Oregon, and they're going to be very good. Ohio State's fascinating because it's I wouldn't say it's a brand-new team. You still have Jeremiah Smith. You still have Caleb Downs, probably the two best players in the country. But you can have a new quarterback, probably Julian Sand, but he's competing with Lincoln Keene-Holtz, and that's too close to call right now. But you got a pretty good offensive line coming back, a line that really proved its mettle during the playoff run when everyone was counting them out. The question on defense is the front four. You have all new starters on the defensive line. And the question isn't so much the starters, it's the depth behind them. So in a long season, if there are a bunch of injuries, then they could have some problems. But look, they've got Sonny Styles at linebacker. They have Davis Igbinosin, an experienced cornerback. Ohio State recruits 4- and 5-star guys across the board. So it is a reload, not a rebuild program. They're not going to have what happened to Michigan last year is not going to happen to Ohio State. Now, they could lose, you know, a few games, but they're not going to collapse.
Bill, the Big Ten Conference has long been Ohio State and Michigan. And you know, there are others that want to try to punch above their weight. Do you see that a shift at all in the conference with realignment? Of course, Oregon's new, but, you know, it just sort of feels like, you know, Media Day ended with Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State sort of anchoring each of the 3 days. And I thought to myself, this is a conference that knows, you know, who to cater to.
Right. Yeah, look, Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State have been the kings of the conference for a long time. And, you know, I do think that Oregon is certainly in that mix now. I think USC obviously has the potential to be in that mix if Lincoln Riley can get it together, and they've got a good recruiting class and all that. But, you know, USC is the sleeping giant. And then you look around like the old Big Ten West, which never won the championship. No team that's in the West ever won the championship. And I think Illinois has a chance to be really good. They got a quarterback back, and Ohio State plays them on the road. That could be a very interesting game. I think Washington will be better. I mean, last year, they lost almost everybody from that championship, or not championship, but the runner-up team the year before. So I think they'll be better. So I think it's deeper than it's been. But, no, I think until somebody proves it, it's the big three and then Oregon. You know, in no particular order, at the top of the conference.
Jeremiah Smith kind of burst onto the scene. What's his ceiling and how much better can he get, or, you know, how much, what are the questions, I guess?
Yeah. Well, he works so hard that you say he's going to get better because he works so hard. And in the course of doing the book, the thing that came across to me about Jeremiah Smith is that I don't think he's perfect, because nobody's perfect. But you talk to Brian Hartline, the wide receivers coach, and he says he does the right thing every time. He's always good with academics. He's good with showing up on time. He's good. I mean, everything. There's just not a flaw. And in terms of his ability, I mean, 6'3", 2-something, 225 or something like that. He's very fast, very strong. great hands. He could probably improve a little bit as a route runner. That was what he talked about when he spoke to the media, that kind of a student of the game and anticipating coverage is better. I mean, look, he's a high school or a college freshman. Of course, he's, a lot of this is going to be new. But, boy, he's as talented as I've seen. And Ohio State's had, as you know, just phenomenal wide receivers for many years. But he's, I don't think I'm going out on a limb by saying he's the best.
Bill Rabinowitz with us, Columbus Dispatch. He's got a book coming out in October on Ohio State's magical season. The losses of the coordinators, Chip Kelly on the offensive side, D coordinator goes to Penn State. Is that a question for Ohio State this offseason?
Yeah, it absolutely is. I mean, Matt Patricia comes from New England. Well, he was with the Lions after that. That was a disaster as the head coach of the Lions. So he has not really been a college coach, not for a long time at least. And so, yeah, there are questions about that. There are questions about whether Brian Hartline's ready to replace Chip Kelly as the offensive coordinator. He had the title a couple years ago but did not call the plays. This year he is expected to call the plays, although I suspect in the big games, in the Texas opener, for example, that Ryan Day will be heavily involved in the play calling of that game. But I you know, so you're gonna have growing pains. I mean, Matt Patricia, again, adjusting the college game, Brian Hartline calling plays for the first time. No question that's going to be a question.
Oregon and their players, you could even feel it at Media Day, that, you know, Oregon's players got asked a lot about the Ohio State loss in the Rose Bowl game. What did you make of that second meeting between the two teams? Because it was a knockout. I think you play it 100 times. I'm not sure Oregon wins any of them, Bill.
Well, they won the one in October, so they were capable of beating Ohio State. What was interesting to me as I did the interviews for the book was just how confident Ohio State was going into that Rose Bowl. I didn't know that going into the game, but Ryan Day was very confident. Chip Kelly was extremely confident that they could do whatever they wanted against Oregon, more or less. The defense was much more confident that they knew how to get set faster. That was a big problem in the October game, where they just weren't getting set in time, that Jim Knowles, by his own admission, was trying to make the perfect call. And sometimes the calls got in too late and they were caught flat-footed. But going into that Rose Bowl game, again, I didn't know it at the time, but just, you know, in doing the book, they felt like they were going to, I don't say do that, because it was 34-0 in the second quarter. I don't think that they thought that was going to happen. But I think they thought they were going to win comfortably.
Oregon says they're going to use this, right? Chip on their shoulder. Ohio State has been there before with a lot of success. How does Ryan Day guard against complacency, with guys coming back this year?
Well, you kind of answered the question. They don't have a lot of guys coming back this year. Mm-hmm. They lost, you know, I mentioned the ones they have coming back, but they lost a ton. I mean, Jack Sawyer, Will Howard, Emeka Buka. I mean, you go down the list. They lost most of that team. So I think it was telling that during spring practice, players were like, I don't want to hear about the national championship. That was that team. That was last year's team. Those guys are mostly gone. We have to carve out our own legacy, and what they did last year really doesn't have a whole lot to do with what we do this year. So I thought that was interesting in how they're not trying to, quote-unquote, repeat. I mean, they know they are, but they feel like this is mostly a new team, and there's a lot that's the truth to a large degree. I mean, it's going to be a new quarterback, new running backs, a bunch of new players.
What did the expanded playoff teach us? Because, you know, you have a team, Oregon looked so good and was so mm-hmm. dominant and the one seed, and, you know, it doesn't happen for them. But what do you think the takeaways are? What are the takeaways people in Columbus talk about?
Well, I think you didn't want to have a bye.
Right.
All four teams had a bye loss. I think that what Ohio State learned, and they were smart in anticipating it, is that they really paced themselves. Like, you think of Chip Kelly, you think of that offense, right? Boom, 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 right down the field. They slowed it down last year. Ryan Day estimates they saved like 150, 200 snaps by huddling last year, by playing at a slower pace. And I think that was one thing that did pay off. And a lot of it's just knowing that it's a long season. You can stumble. You can stumble twice. But you have to peak at the right time. And Ohio State certainly did that. I mean, Ohio State did not look like a national championship team for most of the regular season. There were very few times when you watch them for an entire half, certainly, or not even a game, but, you know, just where they looked like a dominating team that could win the national championship. Penn State, they struggled. Nebraska, they struggled. That's just what it was. But I think that if you now realize what really matters, it's like in basketball. What matters is the tournament. You can, you know, get some of that stuff out of your system. You can put more depth early in the year, knowing that one loss isn't going to, you know, devastate you. I mean, Ohio State plays Texas in, on August 30th, and that's obviously a huge game. In a four-team playoff, you lose that game, you got no margin for error the rest of the year. Now you do. And so they're not approaching this game as a must-win. We sure as hell like to win, and it'd be great if we won, but it's not everything. And I think that probably tempers the way Ohio State practices. You know, there's still urgency, but there's an understanding that it's a very, very long season now.
Oregon has circled the Penn State game on their regular season schedule, or Oregon fans. Ohio State will host Penn State on November 1st. It will play at Michigan on November 29th. Which of those games is the bigger game in your mind for the Buckeyes?
Michigan. I mean, if you lose 5 in a row to Michigan, it's a problem. Now, Ryan Day's not going to get fired, certainly. But that would be devastating. And Michigan should be better this year. So it's not like they, you know, can't lose to Michigan. And what happened in that game last year was a little, I don't say it was fluky, but they played in the Michigan's hand. There were some things that happened that people don't really know about that I'm not saving for the book, but it's in the book, what happened in that game. So I just think that that's the game. It always is the game, but especially coming off a national championship. And there are some, you know, people who kind of denigrate that championship. I asked the Michigan player at Big Ten Media Days, you know, what'd you think when you beat Ohio State and watched them win the national championship? And he said, well, if they didn't beat us, it's not a real championship. So, you know, and there's a small portion of the Ohio State fan base that kind of feels that way, that you can't have a completely successful season if you have not beaten them. So, yes, they want to beat Penn State, and they usually do. But the one that they have to win is Michigan.
Ohio State will go to Washington on September 27th. This is an early season game. A lot of Husky fans are excited for it. There'll be a bye week for Ohio State in front of that game. What are your expectations in that Washington game, or how interesting is that to you as a guy who's covered this team to go to a new place and see a new team?
Yeah, it'll be cool. I mean, I hear it's a great venue. I was blown away by Austin last year. I thought that was one of the best atmospheres I've ever been at. Penn State during a whiteout is great. Austin last year was phenomenal. It was great. Even like Chip Kelly and Carlos Lachlan, who coached there, just marveled at how great it was. So I've heard that it's Husky Stadium, right? That's what it's called, I think. That's a great place to play. You know, I've never been there. I've been to Seattle, but not there. And so it'll be fun. You know, cross-country trips are always interesting. I mean, there's always that dynamic there where you fly out, you know, do you leave your game somewhere in, you know, in South Dakota, you know, in the Europe or South Dakota? I mean, and, Ohio State's got, they got a bit of a gauntlet this year. I mentioned Illinois, you know, could be tricky. They got to go at Wisconsin and Illinois back-to-back. That's going to be tricky. And then the big games, Texas, Penn State, Michigan. So, you know, Ohio State's going to have to play well to get back to the playoff. I think they'll be in it. I'd be surprised if Ohio State's not in the playoff. But, you know, they don't have a ton of margin for error. They've got some teams that can beat them, that's for sure.
You mentioned the whiteout, and Oregon fans will be curious to see how this goes. Bill, you have seen it up close. What is Oregon in store for when it goes to Penn State?
Yeah, it is. Something you can't quite anticipate until you see it. Now, they're doing stadium remodeling or renovation, so I'm not sure what the stadium's going to look like. But it's like 100,000 people all with these white pom-poms, and they all seem to be doing it in unison. It is incredibly loud. It's a kind of a weird stadium. It kind of looks like an erector set as a stadium. It's like you could tell, like, they did, you know, they did this section in 1952, and they did this section in 19, you know, it's kind of a weird stadium that way. And State College is in the middle of nowhere. And so, you know, you kind of drive and there's nothing, and then you get to the stadium and it's this, It's just this sea of white pom-poms. And if Penn State gets off to a good start, it is incredibly loud. A good start for Oregon is important in that one. It's a great atmosphere. Like I said, Beaver Stadium and Autzen are probably the two best that I've seen, at least in recent years.
Bill, I appreciate you coming on with us. Be fun to see you down the road. And who's your pick for the Big Ten title game? Who do you think gets to the end of the rainbow here? Way too early pick. No gun to your head. What do you pick?
I would say Ohio State, Penn State.
There you go.
That's my best guess.
Bill Rabinowitz, I thank you. I'll see you in the press box.
Thanks, John.
There he goes. Can't wait for his book to come out. Love that. What happened to Ohio State in that Ohio State-Michigan game? And I love how fast, when I said, hey, what's the bigger game? Is it the Penn State game or the Michigan game? How fast he went, Michigan. Like, no, come on. Not a big thing. And by the way, four straight for Michigan and five consecutive games without an Ohio State win, as there was a tie in there as well. I think, a real opportunity for Ohio State to again dictate the power that it has within the Big Ten Conference. But Ohio State and Michigan, that's going to be a big one coming up at the end of the year, end of the season. But we will see. In fact, I'm going back and looking now at the four straight. The game was canceled. It was not a tie. That was the pandemic. I just saw there it was no decision. I was like, what, tie? No, so four straight losses for Ohio State against Michigan, and then the canceled game in 2020 because of the pandemic. But Ohio State had dominated the series prior to the pandemic, and then last year everybody thought it was Ohio State's year to finally get back. There's no Jim Harbaugh, and 13-10. You have Michigan winning in Columbus. So this game will be back in Ann Arbor. Why don't you leave it here? Punch It Audio is coming up. John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News in the 5 o'clock hour. Stick around for it all. You got the Bald-Faced Truth statewide on the BFT Radio Network.